to the podcast on how to buy a motorcycle in Delhi.
Also known as how to get totally ripped off as a white guy.
No, Jeb, it's how not to get totally ripped off as a white guy. And let me introduce my first ever co-host and first bike passenger, Jeb.
Hi.
Where are you from, Jeb?
I'm from Denmark.
Where exactly from Denmark?
From Skanderborg.
Okay, moving on. In the next few minutes, I'll give my account of buying a Royal Enfield motorcycle in Delhi. I'll touch on what make of bike I got, where I went, who I trusted, how I negotiated, and all that paperwork stuff.
You might get a song along the way. So, let's get started. What make of bike did you get?
Okay, so you have two options. You could go for a very reliable Japanese bike. It'll tick along fine, it'll give you no troubles, it's quite cheap too. It kind of sounds like this. But you know what, Jep? I think you only live once, and I'll be damned if I miss the chance to rock around India with something that sounds like this.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and so the Royal Enfields are famous for their pure riding joy. I went with the Electra 350 model.
And where do you buy them?
So you buy them in Delhi.
And why Delhi? As opposed to, for example, Mumbai or something?
Delhi is the largest place for secondhand motorcycles in India.
Okay.
And I went in particular to this place called Karolbagh, which is two stops by metro from Paharganj.
Karolbagh station, doors will open on the left.
Basically, this is one street in Karolbagh. Every inch of sidewalk is just crammed with motorcycle, and it's at least 20 dealers there.
But before we go any further, James, like, why don't you just rent it? Why do you have to buy a bike? Why is that important?
Because I want to save money. My hope was to sell the bike back for what I paid for it. And so imagine that, Jeff. 4 months riding a motorcycle through India without spending a penny on the bike itself.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But it's only 20,000 rupees a month. Like, are you telling me you can't afford that?
Well, that's what Lally Singh charges. And he's been catering to Westerners for years. But yeah, I think 20,000 rupees is really pricey. I would only do it if you press for time, have lots of money to burn, and you don't want all the faff, the paperwork faff.
Yeah, okay, fair point.
So the next option is to buy the bike. When you buy a bike, you're going to get this option from the dealers. That's basically to buy back the bike for a predetermined price.
So having kind of a guarantee of being able to sell it, no matter what.
Yeah. And I think you'd be stupid to go for that. Yeah, okay, you save a bit of time at the end of your trip, you know, trying to sell the bike, but you're making a huge loss. They're going to buy it back, if you're lucky, for 75% of the bike's value.
Sounds like a good deal, right?
Well, you know, that could be 20,000 rupees or more. That's £200. That's a lot of money. Lally Singh was charging 32,000 rupees.
But James, you're running a huge risk here. By buying it outright, what if you can't sell it in time? What if you can't get the price you want? So on.
I think if you spend a week at the end of your trip in the largest secondhand bike market in all of India, you are going to get a decent price for your bike. And you're going to save money compared to just renting it. And the dealers, the honest truth is, they make an absolute killing off these sorts of deals for tourists who are too afraid to sell the bike.
Yeah, okay, fine, James. But when it comes to buying a good bike, to seeing the actual quality of the bike, you know nothing about. You know as much as I know about Hells Angels, and that's just nothing.
Why'd you mention the Hells Angels in the first place?
Bikers.
I'm not hairy. I don't like leather, and I don't have any genital piercings. So what to look for a bike? I mean, I have no idea. But I know the man you need to trust in this crazy market, and it's a guy called Bawa.
Bawa.
And he is the grandson of Gudiel, who's of Gudiel's Auto Mechanics, which is just off the main drag. And this grandfather to grandson kind of trio have been helping Westerners avoid buying crappy bikes for years. And then if you're going to trust anybody in this crazy market, it's these guys. I didn't find him that friendly, to be honest. But I think the way it works is that he just has the mechanics, and his father and grandfather, who sit around the shop, do all the PR work for him.
Yes, sir. When you mention this name, you know Baba name, nobody can cheat you. Okay. Everybody, you know, afraid.
Afraid about
bogus bike, not recommended here.
Okay. But walk me through what you did to like find a good bike.
Okay.
Quality bike.
Right. Basically, I go into the market. I tried out like 15 bikes. I found some that I liked. I took it to Bauer, and he gave me a quote on how much it was going to cost to get serviced.
Mm.
And I used that quote to help me push down the prices that the dealers were asking for.
Okay. But you also went into some further negotiations. What did you do there?
Ah, well, I had a bike in mind, a bike I really, really wanted, but I was never going to pay what the dealer asked. That would be crazy. I can probably squeeze him down a bit.
And how did you do that? How did you get the prices down?
So I used the GSTK technique.
The GSTK technique?
Yeah, obviously. The God Save the King technique.
Oh, no.
Which is basically the technique that the British used hundreds of years ago to fight the Maharajas against one another to conquer India.
Oh, that's great. Discriminating against Indians on the podcast on India. It's beautiful, James.
If it worked for the British, it's going to work for me.
Okay, what do you do? What do you do?
Well, so I had the bike I liked. It was a red one, actually. And I found two other bikes of a similar year and a similar engine quality. The dealer, which was particularly cash-strapped, I got a really low price from him, and then I used that low price to negotiate down the prices of the bikes I actually wanted.
Such a generous heart.
And here's a quick rundown of how those negotiations went.
I get my best price is 80,000 for you.
Yeah, I'm going to say I've received better offers from other people.
I'll give you 78,000.
I don't have a job. I don't earn money. I'm not going to earn money for over a year and a half. But it sounds like your business needs cash. With 75,000 in your pocket, you know, your business, good, we can survive now. We can go a lot further now.
Yes. It's 77,000.
77,000, okay. Look at these pants, look at these pants. These are like 3 years old. They're about to break these pants.
Okay, just give me 75,000.
75.
Last.
So you said 80,000.
Yeah.
I've been looking at other bikes in the market.
I'm offering you lies 78,000.
Can you match 75, which is an offer I've got elsewhere?
Okay, give me 77, fine.
Guess how much money I'm paying for my hotel in Paharganj. Guess how much money.
Paharganj is very around 1,000 rupees per day.
I'm paying 150 rupees.
150 rupees per day.
Yeah. Per day. Yeah. And it's terrible, okay? The toilet's terrible.
Yeah.
There are mosquitoes. The fan doesn't work. It's a terrible room. But that I need to save the money.
76,000, make a deal. 76,000.
It's up to you. We are not negotiable.
He's from the land of Michael Schumacher.
Schumacher is Austrian. He's not Italian.
No. Okay. Italy.
Italy's poor. Italy's very poor.
Okay. It's a fashion capital.
In the north, I come from the south. It's very poor in the south. I'm saying 75 is the best price I've got so far.
Okay, give me 75. So done.
And what do you do when the price don't budge anymore, like at all? That you reach the limit?
Well then you throw a curveball and you ask them to throw in extras. Like a luggage rack and knee guards.
And tattoo saying I love mom, tight little pants, a cock star.
Wait, Jeff. Knock it off with the Hell's Angel stuff, alright?
Okay,
I'm not a Hell's Angel, I don't want to be a Hell's Angel. But speaking of mistakes, you know, if you find a decent enough price for the bike you actually want, take it. I made that mistake. It was a red bike. I waited a day. The next day I came back and it was gone.
And that was for the original asking price. So where did you buy it in the end?
So I got my silver 350 2008 model from Nanak Bullet House, sold by this fun guy called Amit. And that's it. I finally had a bike.
Perfect. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Jeff, technically speaking, I don't quite have the bike yet because there's paperwork to sort out.
Oh, yeah, okay. So run through the paperwork and let's get going, yeah?
Yeah, okay, right. So two things you need to know. As a tourist, you aren't resident in India, so you are not allowed to own anything. On the ownership papers...
Own anything? Absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah.
If you bring your iPhone into the country, they just... Nope.
That belongs to the Indian government now.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, with a bike in any case, the ownership papers belong to the previous owner of my bike. So wherever I go to sell my bike afterwards, I have to ring up the dealership, who are then going to forward the papers on to the new bike owner who I have sold it to. And the second issue is insurance. I paid for third-party insurance, super cheap, 1,000 rupees for a year's coverage. But again, it's under the name of the guy who previously owned my bike.
And what happens if you crash?
So, provided I'm not dead,
yeah.
I call up dealership from which I bought my bike, and I tell them the situation, and then they sort out the legal paperwork for me for the insurance.
And this is of course all very legal.
Well, I mean it's India.
And that means yes.
Well, it's just the way things work around here.
And what about driver's license? You need it?
I have a driver's license, yes.
Do you have a motorcycle driver's license, James?
I have a driving license.
Do you have an international driver's license, James?
I have a driving license.
Then that's sorted out. Great! Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
No. Okay, you just bought a bike from some secondhand dealership in Delhi, and you can take it on the road at 100 kilometers an hour?
No.
Are you crazy?
No, okay.
You gotta get it serviced first.
Yes. And how long does that take?
It takes a couple of days. I took it to Bawa's, I sat around, had some chais, and listened to his grandfather talk about his old clients and their rather unusual payment methods.
He's very good, my customer. Yeah.
Duncan and Rich and Catherine Richmond.
Gave me 5,000 rupees and one bottle of whiskey, yeah. Big two bottle of whiskey.
Oh, really?
Great. Hit the road, Jack, and down to come back now.
Jeff, one last thing.
For sake, James.
One last thing.
Yeah.
you gotta take it to an electrician.
Yeah, okay.
The indicators didn't work, the front light was a bit weak, all that kind of thing. So that takes maybe half a day. But don't forget to bargain the hell out of the initial quote the guy gives you.
Okay.
But that was it, you know? 10 days total, 85,000 rupees spent.
So we got it, 75,000 spent on the bike and 10,000 rupee pairs. Great.
That's right, and then you're ready to hit the road.
Can I play my song yet?
Play your song.
Everybody hurts. Everybody dies.
Jeff.
Yeah?
What the hell are you doing?
I'm just trying to get kind of the bit less idyllic part of motorcycling into the podcast.
Everybody dies.
Okay. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
So in a few months, I'll make a podcast on my experience selling the Royal Enfield in Delhi. So stay tuned for that. And Jep seems quite busy now, which is good. I can plan my escape. Jep, I'm just heading off to buy a samosa. Be back in 5 minutes.
James? James? Why are you taking your bags? James, you can't leave me. I'm stuck in the desert. James? How do you even turn this thing off?